Podcast 13, The Two Builders, a Parable from Luke. The Gospel reading for today is Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. Now the passage from Luke that we read in today's Gospel is a continuation of the teaching that Jesus is giving his disciples. This teaching begins in Luke 6:20 with Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Jesus is speaking clearly to his disciples in teaching mode at the start of this, speaking plainly to them and laying down the new rules and principles of the kingdom of God. In this later part of his sermon, Jesus provides several parables or illustrations to back up and reinforce what his earlier statements have said. As the well-known teaching principle goes, tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you've told them. So let's talk a moment about parables. Rabbis or Jewish teachers often used parables to make a teaching point, as did many of the Old Testament prophets, such as the reading that we're going to look at later from Isaiah. Parable in Jesus' time was used much more broadly than we use the word. It included memorable sayings, proverbs, epigrams, similes, as well as the more extended parable stories we are familiar with from the Gospels, such as the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable, in this broader sense, was at the heart of Jesus' teaching style. Parables are more explanatory illustrations. They come with a message of their own that is often left unexplained. So the hearer has the responsibility of working out what Jesus is getting at. Often the imagery of a parable allows for a variety of interpretations, so different hearers may hear different messages and challenges. The parable at the end of the Sermon on the Mount from today's Gospel in Luke is one loved by Sunday school teachers the world over. Certainly for me and my generation, who hasn't been to Sunday school and sung "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock," complete with actions. However, this parable is prefaced by an admonition or warning. Jesus says to the listening disciples, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" The Greek word kyrios here is translated as Lord, and it has several levels of usage. At one level, it may simply be a polite term of respect, such as we would use the word sir. But it can also have a transcendent religious meaning, such as Christ the Lord. Given that Luke is writing his gospel after the resurrection, there is no doubt that he intends this meaning, Christ the Lord, when he uses this term in his gospel. Luke is using this term Lord to reinforce Jesus' authority and to strongly imply that the authority of Jesus is no less than the authority of God himself. Coming back to the parable of the house built on the rock, the point of the parable flows from this opening statement. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? This statement frames up what the parable is about. And then the parable reinforces the point made in this opening statement. Speaking of building houses on rock, when I was with the Habitat Nepal team building houses, we literally followed the example from this parable. First, we excavated through the clay down about a meter and a half to build the foundation wall. Then we filled the trench with rocks and mixed the clay with water to make a kind of primitive mortar to bind the rock layers together. The reinforcing steel had been set in cement prior to this step, and it poked up through the rock layer for the bricks to be tied to. Yes, even today we build houses on a rock. Well, actually lots of rocks in this case. There are similar examples to the parable Jesus has just told, which are in the Old Testament. Jesus may have been drawing on Ezekiel 13:10 as a model for this parable. Ezekiel 13:10 says, because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace, and because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. Therefore tell those who cover it with whitewash that it is going to fall. Rain will come down in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will people not ask you, where is the whitewash you covered it with? So with this parable of the house on the rock and the house on the sand, Jesus is dividing the people listening, including the disciples, into two groups: those who hear his words and put them into practice, and those who hear his words and don't put them into practice, with disastrous consequences. The key themes for this parable can be covered in 3 points, I think. First, all disciples are lifelong learners. I believe as Christians we are called to be lifelong learners. From the day we come to realize Jesus is Lord and commit to following him, we need to be learning, learning, continually learning. And that learning needs to affect every part of who we are: our cognitive being, our thinking, our affective being, our feeling, and our behavioral being, our doing. A shorthand way of remembering this is head, heart, hand. You can't be a good disciple if you're not continually learning. Secondly, it is part of being a disciple to do your best to live by Jesus' teaching. We, as disciples of Jesus, are trying to become like him, and we often fall and fail. Fortunately, God is a loving God who forgives us and restores us. We don't have to haul ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to enable us to grow in grace and character and to become more and more like him. That is part of a disciple. We are disciples doing our best to live by Jesus' teaching. And thirdly, hearing and obeying God's word are necessary elements of a redeemed life. Jesus frames up this parable by saying at the start to his disciples, and remember, he was addressing his disciples more than the crowd, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" Be very clear about this. It is not okay to hear God's word and then for that to have no impact on what you do, on your behavior. Jesus calls us both to hear his word as written in scripture and to obey. These are the two sides of the same coin for every disciple who follows Jesus.